Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Please join with me in prayer as we invoke God's presence. Spirit of love, Spirit of truth, guide us as we pray to think and wish and praise the best and mean the words we say. Hushed in our quiet room, still is this place of prayer. Silent, we bow our heads and feel your presence everywhere.
One fact remains that does not change. God has loves you now, and will love you always. This is the good news that brings us new life.
Time for the children's story.
I have a story to tell you about one of my favorite birds. And here, I got a picture of him for you. There he is. He's called a pileated woodpecker. Did you know they are 19 inches tall? He looks pretty tall here, doesn't he? But I measured him with a piece of yarn and just put the picture up. And really, he's larger than this picture. He's a pretty big bird, isn't he? He's the second largest woodpecker in the United States.
There's one size bigger than that.
Well, at my house, I have a suet feeder, and I have it hung on a tree outside my front door. And sometimes Mr. Coates and I like to go outside and sit down, and if we're real quiet, all of a sudden we'll hear a little noise like this. And you know what that means? That means one of these guys are getting ready to come and visit. And pretty soon, you see their big wings come flapping out of the trees. But one day we're sitting there. Yes. It's exciting, isn't it? Well, one day we were sitting down, and instead of just one of them coming down out of the trees, we had two of them come flying together. And they landed on our tree, and the bigger one started eating. He was really hungry. And the other one was hungry too, I think, but he just stood on the tree and he just went,
And we think it was a baby bird.
That's right. That's what we thought. And he kept making noises. Why, the big bird just kept eating away. But finally, the big bird looked over at the little one, and he climbed up a little bit higher on the tree, and that little bird opened his mouth, and the big bird went and he fed him. And they did this over and over again. Every time the big bird was eating the suet, the little bird would sit there and go, and finally the big one would come and feed him. Well, you know, I started thinking, that reminds me of when I talk with God. Sometimes I'll pray and I'll ask him something, and I pray for the same thing over and over. And finally, I get an answer. So just like this little bird didn't get fed just like that when he started calling for food, the mama bird... That's right. He wasn't forgotten, was he? He just had it to wait a little bit. And that's how it is when we talk with God. We may want him to answer our prayers just like that, but sometimes he waits a little bit to answer our prayers, but he always answers them. And you know, that's just one of the reasons I love the Lord so much. And the children in my Sabbath school class, we're going to sing a song that we just love to sing in there called "We Love the Lord" for you. And we get a little excited when we sing this song. That's one of the things I have found out by teaching these young people. You know, God talks in the Bible about how we should study young people and how they are. And I think it's because their faith and their excitement in the Lord is just so open. And it's just such a blessing for me to watch these children and see how much they enjoy the Lord. And if any of you feel like joining us as we jump up when we sing the song, feel free to. It's a fun way to worship God.
Today our sermon is aimed at children. It's aimed at helping the little ones relate to Jesus. So let's consider this little story that we have here in our scripture reading. I can imagine that a mother thought, I need to take my little child to see Jesus. It was a custom in those days for mothers to bring their small children to a rabbi and ask him to bless them. And Jesus was a teacher, addressed as rabbi. And so why not take my little child to Jesus? And she made preparation. She knew that Jesus was close by, and she set out. And as she was going on her way, she saw a friend, another mother, and said, I'm going to take my little child to Jesus today for a blessing. Oh, I want to come along. And so that mother joined, and another mother they met on the way, and she joined too. And by the time they got there, it was quite a group of mothers with their small children, and some of them had some older children, older siblings that came along too. And they got to where Jesus was, and they were approaching him, and some of the disciples came out and said, no, this, you can't talk to Jesus now. He's busy with some healings over here, and he just doesn't have time for you. You'll have to go find another rabbi. And Jesus overheard them. And Jesus was sort of upset, and he said, don't ever do that. Don't ever send the children away. I want the children. I love the children. Bring them to me. And I can imagine that he found a rock there beside the road, and he sat down, and one of the little children climbed up on his lap. And then they all wanted to get on his lap. And he blessed the children. And he gave words of encouragement to their mothers. And that day was a special day for all of them. Who knows what happened to those children later in life? I suspect that many of them became Jesus' followers. Some of them may have actually given their lives as martyrs for Jesus because they remembered Jesus' love for them. So why is it that Jesus singled out children when he said, if you don't become like these little children, you can't get into my kingdom? What is it about children that makes them so wonderful that God says, I can save you right now. You can be part of my kingdom if you're a little child or if you're like these little children. I think there's a number of things about little children that make them so wonderful. They're susceptible to the teachings of the gospel. Their hearts are open. They're what we would call innocent. What does it mean to be innocent? Well, it's sort of a code word we use. It means we haven't been contaminated. An innocent child hasn't been contaminated. Contaminated by what, you say? Well, some of the habits and some of the ways that we older people do things. We aren't always perfect. We aren't always just as friendly as we can be. We don't always act exuberant. Sometimes we're sort of upset or sullen or don't have a smile on our face. And children watch us, and they pick up some of those traits. It doesn't take very long. But the little children just aren't that way. They can be really refreshing, and I'm sure they were refreshing to Jesus because at that point he had to deal with some of those people like I've described who were sort of mean and had an agenda. But not the little children. Little children have pure, unaffected love. They're devoted. They're loyal. They're forgiving. They're trusting. It doesn't take a lot to convince them. They listen. They believe what you tell them. And their actions reflect love. Have you ever been loved by a little child? I would be hard-pressed to keep track of how many times, even in one day, my grandchildren say to me, Papa, I love you. Sometimes you don't even know quite what to say back. You can always say, well, I love you too, but how many times can you say that? But every time they say it, it's full of meaning and fresh. Little children sometimes do things for you. I've got this card that Christopher made for me. and it's his first written communication to me. He just sent this to me recently, and he's learning to write. He's learning to spell, and it's quite phonetic at this point. It says, "Thank you for taking me for farmer's market. I love you, Papa." Chris. And I'd taken Caitlin and Christopher to the farmer's market in Sanford and give them each a dollar to spend as they liked, and they had a lot of fun finding bargains and buying one cookie to share between them, and their dollar stretched a long ways. They got things for their mother, they got things for themselves, and they enjoyed the time, and I thought it was neat that Christopher expressed his love in writing this time by giving me that card. And this is what makes children so wonderful. As I think that Jesus as a child was just like that. And we want to talk about the little boy Jesus in our discussion today. You know, when Jesus arrived on earth, he was born like any other human baby, but his parents were very, very poor. His mother was very young. Joseph was older and already had several children, and Joseph's first wife apparently had died, and so he needed Mary to help raise his children. Jesus came, his birth was at a very inconvenient time. They had to travel to Bethlehem, and when they got there, there was no place for them, no place for them even to have a bed, and Mary was going to deliver baby Jesus that night. And while they were there in Bethlehem, bad people tried to do bad things to them. God had to protect them miraculously. They didn't have any money. They had to flee the country to get away from the bad things that the king wanted to do to Jesus. But God sent wise men with gifts, and those gifts provided the money they needed so they could go to Egypt without a job, without a place to stay, and live for months, perhaps even years, in that foreign country, avoiding the king's bad intentions. So much trouble. What a way to greet the King of the universe. Why? Jesus appeared to Abraham and he came as an adult or an angel. Other times Jesus appeared on earth as an angel. Why didn't he come for his mission as an adult? Here I am, I'm ready to be baptized. No, that wasn't the way he came as a baby. And as a baby he didn't, you know, most babies don't have a choice who they're born to, but Jesus presumably had a choice. And he didn't choose a king, he didn't choose a palace, he didn't choose a middle-class home. He chose the lowest of the low. And he came as a baby. Babies start out with nothing. They have to learn everything. They're dependent on someone else for everything. And that's the way Jesus came. Even though Jesus' family didn't have conveniences that were common to people, they loved their baby very much. And they loved God and obeyed God's commands. So when Jesus was only a little over a week old, something very special happened in his life. He didn't remember it later, but I'm sure Mary and Joseph did. This morning, Pastor Greenfield is going to sort of reenact that event. We have a baby here in our church. Jesus went to the temple for the dedication, and we have a family who has brought their baby here for a dedication this morning.
Walter and Abby, if you'd like to come up here. It's wonderful, isn't it, to have little precious babies in our congregation. And to just think of what Jesus was like as a baby, that's quite a thought.
I wonder why the Bible is so silent on it. We would love to know more details, wouldn't we? Would you like to come over this side by this microphone? Thank you. Walter and Abby, it's really good to have you here dedicating your precious child this morning. And as you present Eden to the Lord today, you're asking him for a special blessing to be upon her and on yourselves. As you seek to mold and shape her life in order that she may be a Christian, both by your nurture and ultimately by her choice. Today, in a sense, you are covenanting to diligently obey the Lord's instruction for a happy, Christ-centered home. You have chosen two passages from God's Word for this occasion, and the first one is about Abraham, and that must be a role model for you, Walter. Genesis 18:19 says, "For I have known him," this is God speaking, "in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." Walter, can our Lord God say the same thing about you? Will you be the kind of father who the Lord knows is a devoted follower of himself, one who diligently on a daily basis with humility surrenders all to Jesus and carries out his will above all other considerations? Amen. Praise God. Will you be a faithful priest of your home, leading your family daily in worship and dedication to our Lord?
I will.
Amen. Will you be careful to keep out of your home the worldly influences that would undo all your efforts to raise Eden to love and obey Jesus?
I will.
Praise God. Abby, the other passage that both of you chose is Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 and 2 and 5 through 7. And it reads, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son or daughter, and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Here is where you as a mother will have a great influence, teaching the Lord's commandments, talking about the greatness of God and the great eternal benefits of loving, trusting, and obeying his commandments. I found this quotation in the book Patriarchs and Prophets, and I think it's fitting for this occasion. It says, it's on page 244, and it says, "There is no other work that can equal this. To a very great extent, the mother holds in her own hands the destiny of her children. She is dealing with developing minds and characters, working not alone for time, but for eternity. She is sowing seed that will spring up and bear fruit, either for good or for evil. She is not to paint a form of beauty upon canvas or to chisel it from marble, but to impress upon a human soul the image of the divine. Especially during their early years, the responsibility rests upon her of forming the character of her children. The impressions now made upon their developing minds will remain with them through life. Parents should direct the instruction and training of their children while very young, to the end that they may be heirs to the throne, not of an earthly empire, but as kings unto God, to reign through unending ages." You have a queen in your hands and a special task. Abby, will you seek all the help, counsel, and instruction from the Lord on an ongoing basis so that you may give Eden the very best advantage for eternal life that it is possible to give her?
I will.
Amen. Praise God. Jesus' own parents were careful to do exactly what the Lord had commanded them to do with Jesus as a baby. And we find in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, it says, "Now when the days of her," that's Mary, Her purification according to the law of Moses were completed. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just like you're doing with Eden today. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. In verses 39 and 40 it says, so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Walter and Abby, if you are careful to follow the counsel of the Lord in the Bible and in the spirit of prophecy regarding your home, your marriage, and in training Eden, then I think that we can place Eden's name in this passage, and this is how it would read. So when Walter and Abby had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, then Eden grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon her.
Amen.
When Jesus comes for us all, you together as a family hope to be ready to go home with him. And in Isaiah 8:18, I'm sure that you want to say these words when Jesus comes. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. Church family, you have a role in the nurture of Eden and all of the precious children. Will you also covenant to nurture Eden and all of the children through your prayers, your example, and your faithful teaching? That is, if you are elected to such an office. Would you covenant to this by raising your hand also? Praise the Lord. Look at the wonderful support that you have. Now that we've covenanted with the Lord our God, let us pray for God's blessing to surround Eden all the days of her life. Let's kneel together here. Our dear loving Father in heaven, we bow before you to thank you for the miracle of this precious life. We thank you for the joy that has come into Walter and Abby's lives. They have covenanted to raise Eden to love and obey you. May you give them the heavenly wisdom to keep out of their home anything that would corrupt the mind of Eden and lead her to love this world rather than to love you. May you bless their efforts to train Eden to walk in your ways. Father, we commit ourselves as a congregation to you to provide an atmosphere of love in the church and to teach and lead by our example. May you sanctify us for this purpose. We ask, dear Lord, that your special blessing may be upon Eden all the days of her life as we dedicate her to you. We pray that as a result of your blessing upon the Smith home and this church, that when Eden is old enough to understand the basics of salvation, that she will of her own choice dedicate her life to you through baptism and become an active, vibrant member of your remnant church. Father, we thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Did you catch that amazing verse, Luke 2, verse 40? And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Of course, this text describes the growth of the baby, little boy, Jesus. It's all we have for 12 years of his life, from birth to the special event that we'll touch on in a moment, when he was 12 years old. So to understand this period, we have to examine and cling to every word in this text. Boys and girls, what's it mean to grow? You get new shoes, you get new clothes, you get taller, yeah. Little Eden has already doubled her birth weight in just a few weeks. She's growing faster than you are, I dare say, right now. But you're still growing. And Jesus grew too. He not only grew physically, but he grew in many other ways. Part of the reason he grew physically is because he was given a good diet, given a good environment. I suppose he ate his spinach. Didn't eat too much ice cream. We don't know those things, do we? But he became strong. That means he was probably active and liked to be outside and run and play and exercise. And the text also says that he became filled with wisdom. What is wisdom? What's it mean to be wise? It means to have knowledge, but it also means to know how to use that knowledge. Christopher, did you want to say something? To think, yeah. To be wise is to think and not do things without thinking. Very good. So Jesus grew in wisdom. He had to learn just the way that you learn. How do you suppose he learned all those things so that the Bible could describe him as being wise? He didn't go to school. He was homeschooled. His mother taught him. I'll bet he liked to listen to his mother tell stories. Don't you? Do you like stories? And stories are a really good way to learn when you're little. What if we had a story right now? Maybe we could have a story about another Bible baby, huh? Maybe baby Moses? Anybody like that story? Well, baby Moses, he was born at a difficult time too, because there was an order that all baby boys, and Moses was a boy, were to be thrown in the River Nile. Now, crocodiles lived in the River Nile, so it wouldn't be very nice to be thrown in a river where there are crocodiles that were hungry, would it? And besides, little babies don't know how to swim, so that was the end if you threw them in the river. And Moses had an older brother and older sister, and his parents didn't want baby Moses to have to go in the river. And there were soldiers commissioned to go up and down the streets and door to door listening to find any baby boys, and if they found any, they were to throw them in the river. So what do you suppose Miriam and Aaron had to do? Try to keep baby Moses from crying. Now, it's pretty easy when the baby's little tiny, because they can't cry very loud anyway. So you put a towel over their face or something if they cry, and you quick get them something to eat, something to put in their mouth so they can't cry. And I'm sure that they knew it was very important that the soldiers outside not hear baby Moses, so they were very faithful. But there came a time when baby Moses got big and he could cry loud. Ooh, what are we going to do? We can't keep him from crying all the time. Most of the time we can, but once in a while he's going to cry loud. What are we going to do? Mother came up with a plan. They said the babies have to be put in the river. So why don't we put our baby in the river, but we won't let the crocodiles get him and we won't let him drown. We'll make a boat for him. So Mother went down to the river and she gathered up some plants that she could use to make a boat. I bet Miriam and Aaron helped her make that little baby boat just big enough for baby Moses to fit in. And when they got it all done, they tested it, and it seemed to work pretty good. They let baby Moses take a nap in his boat before, right there in the house, to see if he would be comfortable. And he was. He slept good in the little boat. They got him up after his nap, and they gave him something to eat. Got his tummy all full so he would be happy. And then they put him in the boat. And this time, they didn't let him take a nap at home. They snuck him down to the river. And there were plants and weeds and reeds growing along the river, and they hid that little boat in amongst those reeds. And at this point, Miriam, his older sister, got a very, very important task to do. She was chosen to stay by the river and watch over baby Moses. I wonder how come Moses' father or his mother didn't do that. You suppose if the soldiers had found the baby and found their mother or father,
that they both would have been killed. But the idea was, I think, that Miriam's just a little girl. She can be there. She can watch. And there, no one will be suspicious. And if they do find the baby, they won't do anything to Miriam. But God had a plan for Moses. God didn't let the soldiers find Moses. He let somebody very special find Moses. And that was the princess. And apparently this princess liked little babies. Maybe she didn't have a baby of her own because she wanted baby Moses to go with her. Well, that was a little bit of a problem, wasn't it? That would mean that baby Moses wouldn't be able to be at home. Better than being eaten by the crocodiles, but Miriam had a plan. She went to the princess after the princess was exclaiming and how beautiful this baby was, and figuring out, well, where did this baby come from and how come it's down here? And she figured out right away that it was a little Hebrew baby that was under the command to be thrown in the river, and some mother had protected that baby by putting the baby in the river, but in a boat. And so Miriam said, you know, if you want me to, I could find somebody that could take care of the baby for you and nurse him, feed him. Oh, could you do that? Said the princess. And that's what Miriam did. And who did she find to take care of the baby? Who was it? The baby's mother, Miriam's mother. And so the baby was able to come home. And now, because they were working for the princess, if Moses cried, it didn't really matter because they had a special exemption to take care of the princess's baby. Not just for a little while, but for several years they took care of baby Moses. And eventually, the boy Moses and the man Moses became a very important messenger of God. Well, I'm sure that was one of the stories that Jesus loved. And he learned by those stories, but he also learned by reading the Bible. And I'll bet Joseph read the Bible to him. I think they had probably a complete set of the Old Testament scrolls. You see, Joseph was in the royal lineage. If there had been a king of Israel at that time, Joseph probably would have been the king. And there were things that were handed down from generation to generation in the hope that eventually there might be a king. And Joseph, being in that royal line, he had access to things that a poor family probably wouldn't have. So Jesus could hear the scriptures read, and when he learned to read, which he learned, he could read them for himself. But Jesus learned in other ways too. He liked to watch things. He liked to watch the bugs, the birds, and the bees, and the fish, and the animals. He even liked to watch people and figure out what made them tick. How come they did the things they did? What were they interested in? How did they live? He studied. As he grew older, he was very dedicated in his study. But do you suppose it was always easy for baby Jesus? No, I don't think it was. It's not always easy to be a good boy or a good girl, is it? What happens when you're trying to be good and you're playing with kids that don't care about being good? They sometimes sort of push you away, don't they? If you won't play the games they want to play because they aren't good games, you get excluded. Sometimes they make fun of you. They made fun of Jesus, sadly. And the other children were sometimes very cruel. But Jesus was always kind in return. But he was different. He wouldn't get involved with their pranks or their tricks or their bad jokes. And when they were playing those kind of games, he spent time by himself. Out in the fields, the forest, along the Sea of Galilee, but also sometimes with people. He was always learning. He was always friendly, and he tried to be happy. Jesus as a child was very much like our children, and as we were when we were small. He looked forward to things. Do you ever look forward to things? How about vacations? You look forward to vacations and trips?
Uh-huh.
Something different, right? Well, Jesus knew that every year his father made a trip, sometimes several times a year, to Jerusalem, and he never got to go. And he said, when can I go to Jerusalem with you? Well, not until you're 12 years old. So Jesus looked forward to being 12 years old and being able to go to Jerusalem. And when he got to be 12, not only Joseph went, but also his mother, Mary. And their family went, and lots of people from Nazareth went along. It was a long ways to Jerusalem. They had to walk or ride donkeys, and it took several days. And Jesus didn't remember when he was in Jerusalem when he was dedicated, so it was all new. And they went through towns, and they went through places where important things had happened in the history of the nation. And the stories were told, and they sang songs about the wonderful events and the way God had led in the past. It was exciting. And it was very special to Jesus. And when they got to Jerusalem, it was different than he had expected. It was more wonderful than he expected. And the temple was so awesome. And the things going on there were so interesting. And in the days that he was in Jerusalem, a whole bunch of things came together that he'd been learning about from the Bible and from the stories that he'd heard. And all of a sudden, he saw for the first time what his work was going to be, what his mission was going to be in life, and what was going to happen to him in the future. It was very important. Yes, it was very important what God wanted him to do. Was he proud because God had asked him to do this? No. Was he awed? Yes. Was he humble? Yes. Was he afraid? No. Because he had learned to trust his Heavenly Father. Each of you can be like Jesus. And I wonder, have you thought of a way that you could be like Jesus as we've talked about the boy Jesus today? Anyone have an idea on what you might do as a child to be like Jesus? What? Be obedient, yes. Jesus was obedient. Caitlin? Be kind, yes. Christopher? What? Be true, yes. Caitlin? Be respectful, yes, certainly. I think you're going through a list, aren't you? That's a good list, though. Yes, the adventure law. Thank you. You know what? You're preparing for something too. God has something big that he wants you to do. He had something special he wanted Jesus to do, but he has something special he wants each of us to do. And as you grow up, you can learn, like Jesus did, what that special thing is. The very special thing God has just picked out for you to do. It may not come all at once, but piece by piece, a little bit of the picture here, a little bit there, you will see how God has planned a beautiful and a wonderful life for you, because he loves you and he wants to bless you the same way he blessed those children that came and sat on his lap when he was an adult. God bless you, each one. Father of Jesus, our elder brother, we come before you this morning thankful that you love us, that you love little children, and you want us to be like them in simplicity, in trust, in loving response to the things that you do for us. We're thankful for the children in our congregation, for their part in our service today, and for Eden especially. You've blessed her family, and you will continue to bless them, we pray. And each of us who have opportunities to interact with little ones, may we always be like Jesus was and welcome them and never turn them away. May their character traits shine so that we can become like them, suitable candidates for your kingdom. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the work that Jesus did as an adult, for his perfection, for his perfect gift, and for his perfect death for our salvation. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and we pause now to bring before you our special requests for those who may be in need and for needs that we may have ourselves as we silently pray. When Jesus was here, he gave us those words in the wonderful prayer that we would pray together at this time. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Learn and believe, sure of the lengthening of your teachers, why you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of the scriptures is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us.
Make your father truly happy by living right and showing sound judgment. Make your parents proud, especially your mother.
My son and daughter, pay close attention and gladly follow my example. The last and final word is this: fear God. Do what he tells you.
Let us bow our heads together. Our loving Father in heaven, we truly do know that Jesus loves us. The cross still tells us that today. And as we think of Jesus as a child, it inspires us. We thank you that you have said that we need to become like little children. And that has been our focus today. We pray that we will have hearts like children, to learn from you each day, to be molded by you each day and fitted for your kingdom. As we leave this place, Father, we seek for your blessing. We pray that your face will shine upon us and that you will give us peace, and that you will direct our feet into paths of righteousness for your sake. And we thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.